Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Today, I would like to talk about this prayer again, and this one will be a little bit different from the regular teaching about prayer. The topic of teaching today is prayer of enlightenment. Spiritual eyes open and see. Definitely, the best and the ultimate example of a praying person is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no person in the world who can pray better than Jesus. And Jesus taught us a lot of things. He showed us good example, and he also gave us precept and teachings and principle about prayer. For example, we learn that if we want to pray effectively, we need to pray in love. We need to pray by faith. We need to pray persistently without giving up. And we need to really surrender to the Holy Spirit and to the will of God. We also learn that there are two kinds of prayer. One is to ask, and another one is to speak. The Bible says, whoever say to these mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not have doubt in his heart, but be believe that what he says shall be done, he will have whatever he say. So if you face bad situation, unfair situation, or disappointment, you speak to the situation and command it in the name of Jesus with the authority of heaven to go away. But when you ask God, you ask good things from God. Bad things, you command them to go away, but good things you ask from God. Amen? You understand? Today, we're going to learn from Paul about prayer. And if you read the scripture carefully, when Paul wrote many scriptures to the churches in the early church, you can see one thing that Paul did not emphasize what they want. Paul did not emphasize what they should have in the sense of the worldly things. You know, today people always come to God and ask God for, oh, I need to have a big house. I need to have 3 more cars. I need to have more money. I need to have more and more and more. People talk about want, and need. But if you notice, when Paul wrote the letter about prayer for the saints and about our own life, he emphasized spiritual strength. He emphasized wisdom. He emphasized spiritual growth and power on the inside, the character, and the fruitfulness of the ministry. I think we need to keep our perspective right according to the Bible. We should not emphasize only what we need, but we should emphasize understanding, comprehension, the understanding of the perfect will of God. Today, I will read many scriptures and try to explain to you as fast as I can so that we will have time for the testimony. I'm going to start with Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Actually, Philemon has only one chapter. Verses 4 to 6. Paul wrote this to Philemon. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. You notice one thing, when Paul wrote the letter about praying for the saints, he always used the word always. So he did not pray one time, but he keep praying for the brother and sister. I would like to encourage all of you to keep praying always for one another in the church. Don't just pray one time. Lift up the name of your brother and sister in the same care group or in the same church and brother and sister in other churches that we are related to lift them up always, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Like what Pastor Noom said a while ago, Christianity is not about eating and drinking, but it's about faith and love. Every time, whatever you want to do, anything, you ask yourself, I am walking in faith or walking by faith. Am I walking in love? Whether the email you're going to write or the Facebook, you're going to write something in the Facebook. Do I do this by faith or do I do this by doubt and don't trust my God that good things can happen? I email people. Do I do it in love or I do it to revenge people? God wants us to have a reputation of having faith and love toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward the saints. That the sharing of your faith, serving God, being a witness for God, may become effective, and this is the key word I want to emphasize, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I want to paraphrase this scripture. Paul said, I pray for you that you will be effective in the ministry, in sharing the gospel, in sharing your faith with people. But I pray that you will know what is good, every good thing that Jesus Christ has done for you. This is a prayer of enlightenment, the prayer that opens spiritual eyes of people to know the will of God, to know exactly what belongs to them, to know what they have in Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, many Christians don't even know what they have in Christ Jesus. And that's why they don't live a victorious life. They live in defeat all the time. God wants us to live victoriously. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, the Bible says the same thing. I read from NLT, New Living Translation. Epaphras, from your city, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly. Everyone say always.
Always.
Earnestly.
Earnestly.
You see again? Always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong. May make you strong physically, emotionally, spiritually. You can see that he emphasized about strength. And perfect, fully confident of the whole will of God. I can assure you that he has agonized for you and also for the Christians in Laodicea and Hierapolis. If I read from NIV, it says, you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Again, one thing that we can pray for one another is to pray that we will be strong spiritually. We will be mature people, not baby Christian. Our hearts are changed, our mind is changed, and we will know the perfect will of God. And not only know the perfect will of God, we will walk by faith to have confidence, to have assurance that this is it. Whatever the word of God say, what God promises me, it will be done. I know and I know that God promises are real and true to me. God wants us to pray for one another that we will grow in faith. And we will know the perfect will of God and be assured. You remember when God told Abraham in the book of Genesis that you're going to have a son. Even though your wife has been old and physically she could not have a baby. But I'm going to open her womb. I'm going to visit her and she's going to have a baby son. When Abraham heard that, the Bible says he was so persuaded that he did not have doubt that it would happen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 verse 21, being fully persuaded, which means assured or confident, that God had power to do what he had promised. My dear brothers and sisters, God already gave you something. And the book of Philemon says every good thing. God has given us every good thing. You don't need to beg him anymore. You don't need to try to get it anymore. It's already been given to you. I give you this example. If I say to some of you in this room, say, you know, I already paid for a Lexus GS350 for you. Whatever color you like, you just walk into the Bellevue Lexus and pick one. I already signed a check, gave to Lexus company. You just went in, go in, get the key and drive out. And you say, oh, Pastor Lau, I don't believe it. I think you're just kidding. You will never get that car because you doubt what I say. But if you walk to Lexus and say, Dr. Lahaprasit sent me here. He said he paid for this car already. And the car salesman said, this is the key. You almost collapse because you're going to drive that car out. It belongs to you. This is what Paul was talking about, that Jesus has paid for you something already. Are you going to believe it? Do you believe in the will of God for your life? Do you believe that God already paid something for you? And the Bible says every good thing. Are you going to believe and have faith and fully persuaded, fully assured that that thing belonged to you? He has paid for it. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. We give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, he said, I pray always for you. Not to pray that you will be more beautiful, you will have a nice hairstyle, you will have more many credit cards to go to the bond market. No, no, no. He didn't pray like that. He said like this, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. We need to know the will of God for our life. What Jesus has done for us. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk. You know, after you know the perfect will of God in your life, after you know the promises of God, after you know and have been fully persuaded and assured and confident in the will of God, the good things that God has purchased for you on the cross, then you can live a life worthy of the Lord, which means you can live a life that honors God and people look at you and say, wow, they're different from me. They have God in their life for sure, fully pleasing Him. Christianity is not about law. Christianity is about love, that God loves you and you love God and you want to please God. I do good not because my good deeds will bring me to heaven. But I do good because I try to please God because I love Him. Christianity is not about laws, but it's about love. Loving God so much to please Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, he prayed that they will have understanding, wisdom to understand what is the will of God for their life. And then not only that, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Everyone say, inheritance. The Father in heaven has worked so hard for you and He paid everything for you and He prepared inheritance for you. You need to know the will of God. What is your inheritance? What is the perfect will of God for your life? And give thanks to Him. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. I want to explain to you what belongs to you. And I pray that you will get this. You will really understand every good thing in your life. The first thing that belongs to you that Jesus has done for you. He died on the cross and He was put in the tomb and He raised from the dead on the third day. He is now at the right hand of the Father. And on the cross He said, it is finished. It's done deal. It has been given to my people. The first thing He did is forgiveness of sin and salvation. And I tell you, you have salvation no matter how you feel. You may feel bad today, but you still have salvation because Jesus did it for you. Our faith in the will of God does not depend on what we see and does not depend on how we feel. Amen. You may have a bad day, but you are still saved. Amen. You may face a situation that you don't like, but you are still saved because you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your name is recorded in the book of life and you will go to heaven. You are the righteousness of God. God gives His righteousness to you. You are righteous in the eyes of God, even though you don't look righteous. Even though you may not feel that you are holy. But by faith, because you believe in Jesus, this is what belongs to you. You are righteous and you have salvation. You don't need to try to be saved. You don't need to beg God to be saved. You have been saved. It's been purchased for you. Amen? Amen. If every Christian can believe that, everyone says, I am righteous. I am righteous. Amen. I am righteous. Amen. So walk by faith. Don't go by your feeling. Don't go by what you see. Another thing that Jesus paid for you is He's paid for you that you would be rich. You will have more than enough. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. Riches belong to Christians. I'm not saying that you're going to have a 3 million home at the waterfront. I'm talking about having more than enough to do what God called you to do. You will not lack any good things in your life. But you cannot get this by doubt. You need to understand, fully persuaded and fully assured that Jesus has paid the price that you don't need to live in poverty anymore. Amen. And by faith, you obey him. If he says sow the seed, you sow the seed. Don't be stingy. If you say give tithe, give tithe. You need to obey God. Amen. So riches belong to Christian. Everyone say, everyone who is Christian in this room say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I am rich. Even though you don't see a lot of money in your wallet right now, but you can say, I am rich. And keep believing it, that you are rich. You are not going to be poor. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need to beg God to give you money. Actually, you just say, I am rich. It's been done for me on the cross. I have faith that God will provide me. Amen. You don't need to keep begging God, God, give me more money, give me more. No, no, no. You don't need to beg God. He's already given to you. He has given to you. It belongs to you. You just grab it by faith. Like what I'm talking about, the Lexus car. I already give to you. How many people want to do that? If I sign a check for you, GS. Oh, okay. You see, people raise. But why when God say, I already give you salvation, God give you righteousness and riches, and you kind of, I'm not sure. No, you need to raise your hand up. Say, yes, I want to receive that. Everyone raise your hand. I receive salvation. I receive righteousness. I received riches from the Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter how you what you see and how you feel. Another thing that God gave to you is healing. Amen. Healing. By His stripes, we were healed. Healing has been done 2,000 years ago. And you, if you just believe that you don't need to stay sick forever, healing belongs to you. You just say, in Jesus' name, sickness go away. I'm healed. By faith. But the problem, people don't get that. They are not persuaded. They are not confident in what God has done for them. They don't have faith. That's why Paul prayed that they will have the full knowledge of the will of God, fully persuaded, confident, and grow mature so that they can be fruitful in their ministry. How can you become fruitful in the ministry if you still feel lack of self-confidence, you feel you are sinners, you are not righteous, and you are poor all the time, you're sick all the time? You cannot be fruitful in the ministry. Is that right? How can you live a life worthy of the Lord if you walk around poor and sick? People will look at you and say, I think your God is not a good God. But if you are wealthy, you are well-to-do financially, and you are strong and you're healthy, you walk around, people see you, your life, they say, wow, your God must be good, worthy of the Lord. Your life will be worthy of the Lord to shine the glory of God before the eyes of people. Not only righteousness, salvation, riches, and healing. God also redeemed you from the work of darkness. If you are addicted to cigarette, and you feel like I have to pull out the cigarette right now and light it up and smoke. When you begin to pull it out, you say, I am redeemed. I'm delivered from this darkness. When you pull the cigarette out, you say again, I'm redeemed. I am delivered from cigarette. And when you start to light it, you say, I'm redeemed. And you keep saying that. And eventually you get set free. This really happened. I listened to a testimony of a man who got addicted to cigarette. And the pastor told him to do it. He keep claiming, keep confessing, keep believing. And eventually, suddenly one day he woke up, that feeling is gone. He did not want to smoke cigarette anymore. And it can happen to you. You are delivered. You have been delivered from bondage and darkness in your life. Amen. Everyone say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I have been made righteous.
I am
saved.
I am rich.
I am healed.
I am delivered.
From the power of darkness. Jesus has purchased that for you already. Amen. You don't need to stay in addiction for the rest of your life. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. You see how Paul pray again. We're going to see all the scripture to see that Paul pray all the time for the spiritual enlightenment. To see what belongs to Christian and walk in that good things that God have for them by faith. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. God has so much up there, riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's why I love revival service. When I see the Holy Spirit touch people, I know that he's doing something on the inside of them, on the inner man, to strengthen, to make that person to become more and more like Christ. It's about change. Revival is about change. It's not about falling. It's not about laughter. Those things are just physical manifestation. Amen. But we believe in the inner change on the inner man by the Spirit, strengthened by with might or with power through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you see, the key of Christian life is to know that Christ is in you, and he is the hope of your glory, and he is love. He's full of love on the inside of you. You walk in relationship with Christ on the inside of you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you imagine? He pray like this. I pray for you all the time. God, these people in this room will be full of the fullness of God on the inside them. God himself, full on the inside by his Spirit. And then you have confidence in his love. When you have confidence in his love, you know that God is so big. God is big God. When you see that God is big, you can ask even more. You can even move more in power. You can do more things through Christ who strengthened you, because you know God is big. For some Christian, God is so small. For some Christian, God is not a loving God. They feel that God condemned them all the time. They always feel that God wants to give them a hard time and bang on their head. No, God is a loving God. He never condemns you. He is a big and loving God on the inside of you. And if you can believe that, the first thing you will do is you will honor one another anointing. When I look at Pastor Joe Cruz, I never look at this man as just a man from Texas. But he is a man full of the anointing on the inside of him. And big God is on the inside of him. You need to look at one another that way. And then what happens when you know that God is so big on the inside of you, and God is so loving, you draw that love, you're full of the fullness of God on the inside of you. Then what happens? Now you can believe that to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory to the church. I'm going to Thailand in September. And I want to tell you, I'm not afraid. I don't worry. I'm going to step into that land. And when I got up on the stage, I know that my God is big in here. I know God loved me and God loved these people. And I know that I can do exceedingly. He's going to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what I can ask and think of. Hallelujah. Because I know my God. And I have the fullness of God on the inside of me. That's why I love the fire of God. I love the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because the more you have that, this revelation I'm talking about will grow. I'm going to read the scripture later on. And you'll see that this can grow, this revelation, this understanding, the enlightenment of your spiritual eyes. Paul said that so that you can comprehend, which means to know, to understand, to experience. Amen. Many Christians are frustrated. They live a life of defeat. They're frustrated every single day. They just get mad every single day. They complain. They just have bad attitude every day. They cannot laugh. They cannot have joy. They cry and cry. And they keep begging God for what God already gave to them. My dear brothers and sisters, that's why we need to understand that God is big. Even Pastor Lau make mistake in this church for some reason. He can fix it. And it can change things around. Do you believe that God can fix my mistake? Yes. Sometimes I may make a wrong decision because I'm human. I may miss God sometimes. But you need to trust God. Even though Pastor Lau make mistake, God can fix it for the church. So don't complain. Don't be murmuring. Don't trust God. God is big in this church. Amen. God can do exceedingly, abundantly more than what we can ask. Don't get frustrated. You can cast all your care upon him. and he will take care of you. It's been done already on the cross 2,000 years ago. Don't keep begging God. Don't keep pleading God. It's done. You just what? Believe. Claim it. Speak it. Confessing it and receive it by faith. And it shall happen to you. It's been done. It's been given. Every time you think about this issue, think about Lexus GS350 that I've talked about. You can go and get it. Go and drive it out. Amen. It belongs to you. Look at what the Bible says. Okay, he say okay. Ephesians 1:16-23. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You see, again, always pray for the saints, pray for one another, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If I say simpler like this, God give you wisdom and understanding to know who God is. Who God is? God's love. Where? Inside of you. Who God is? God's big, huge. You know, in the camp, I laugh a lot this time. I was drunk all the time. Every service, I just laughing. And every time I laugh and I got drunk in the Holy Spirit, I see God so big. He is a big God. That's why we laugh, because the problem is small now. Any problem is so small, that's why we can laugh. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he works in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, that not only in this age, but also that which is to come, that he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church. My dear brother and sister, God is not struggling with demons. God is not struggling with your disease and sickness. God is not struggling with problem on earth. Everything is under his feet. He just tapped. Piece of cake. Everything under his feet. He's powerful. Amen. Everything under his feet. Demon, sickness, problem in your life, under his feet. You get this? That's what Paul tried to pray. That Christians need to know that my God, our God is big. He is so big, he's so mighty, he can raise Jesus from the dead. So everything is a piece of cake for him. Can you have that faith? Can you understand the will? We should shout and praise God for that. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, if you can have this revelation, your Christian life will be full of victory all the time. You will not walk in defeat anymore. Amen. Let me read last scripture. I'm going to skip to verse 7. Ephesians 2:7 say, that is in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In other words, I want to translate in this way. As they go by, as months go by, as years go by, you and I will have deeper and more understanding and insight and enlightenment of who God is, what he did for us, what he has done for us, how much love he has, how much power we have. As age to come, we will have more and more faith and more understanding. Are you excited about that? God's going to show us more, the riches of his glory. I tell you, the most important thing in your life on earth here, I'm talking about on earth, not in heaven, is to know your God and to become like Christ. That is the most important thing. I want you to know God yourself. When you come to the prayer line and we pray and you fall down and yield to God, it's not about falling, but it's about you seeking to know him there. You want to know God more. Because the more you know God, the more that the eyes of your understanding open to see him by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do that to you. I cannot help you to understand God. Only the Holy Spirit can help. That's why we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Then your Christian life will never be the same. Oh, I hope you get this in this teaching. You can go listen to the CD one more time. Keep listening to this one, that God wants you to understand what he did for you. And understand his love, who he is in you, how powerful he is. And he wants to show that more, from grade 1 to 2nd grade third grade, fourth grade, until you finish 12th grade, and then bachelor degree, master degree, PhD, double PhD, triple PhD. You more and more understanding about God, deeper and deeper of the things of God. Every single day of your life, deeper and deeper and more understanding. That is the prayer we should pray for one another. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's say it together. Let's confess. I am victorious. I am delivered. I am redeemed. I am strong by the might of His power. I am righteous. I am saved. I am rich. I'm healed. I'm full of joy. I'm full of peace. I am a victor. I'm not a victim. Amen. Give the mighty hand of praises to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged today? Are you going to go out of this room today with faith and try to understand more what God has done for you? Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.